On behalf of the Jordan family, I'd like to welcome you and thank you all for coming to join the family to take part in this memorial service. Your fellowship and support are an encouragement to the family, especially today, as we remember and honour the life of their loved one and our dear friend Harold. To the whole Jordan family, again, your friends who have gathered here are feeling greatly for you at this time, and I hope you already know that you're much loved and that you are being prayed for. The wise words of the Apostle Paul's exhorting of God's people in Rome to weep with those who weep seem very important at this time. I'm sure that has been the case with many. We are deeply saddened at your loss, Lee and family. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we know and believe that you see the need of your people here today. You have promised that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you are there in the midst of them. Father, please comfort and strengthen those who are grieving today. We ask that you provide your peace that passes all understanding. Please strengthen each person with courage and hope. Dear Lord, you know about sorrow and grief, and we ask that you come to us and meet each one's need today. And we ask these things in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Amen. In preparing for this memorial, I'm aware that the family was looking for the hymns that Harold loved. And apparently there was a very long list, and it was eventually found, of his favourite hymns. This morning, we're going to sing two of those songs, and our first one is Blessed Assurance. Let us sing this beautiful hymn with gusto and conviction, as it was a hymn that our friend and brother loved. I believe it would be his heart's desire that we would exalt our Lord Jesus this morning as we sing this hymn. Can we stand together and sing Blessed Assurance? Please be seated. That certainly was with gusto and conviction. Thank you for that. Our brothers and sisters, we have opportunity now to hear some of the remembrances of their dear dad, Harold, from family members. And of course, there are three lovely sons. And the first is Glenn. And Glenn's going to come and share his conversation regarding his dad.
Yeah, Dad used to love to tinker, and so did I. He would often take things apart, and usually he would get them back together. Yeah. He would do mechanical and electrical work, and he encouraged me that I could do those sort of things too. He built me a toy electrical circuit board switchboard so that I could understand how switches and electrical circuits worked. I spent a lot of time in the shed with him building things that I imagined and restoring things that I found, especially vintage fans and lamps and stuff like that there. Sometimes he said I collected too many things from the side of the road because the shed was already full of things that often he had collected from the side. And we both could imagine how things, that something was broken that could be fixed to be useful again. We both liked to build things, but unfortunately when something didn't go well, we both used to like to break things. Yeah. And we were both very good at that, and Dad always encouraged me and I loved him for that. Thank you.
There might be some overlapping in stories here as we remember our father here today. Good afternoon to everybody here this morning. On behalf of our family, I would like to express our sincerest gratitude and love to everyone that's gathered here today. Thank you for coming. We've been overwhelmed with the outpouring of love and the many displays of love and support our family has received. from so many that knew Dad. In his final weeks, Dad's room was flooded with many visitors. Dad had made a very real connection with so many people in his life. It was heartwarming to see so many come to say goodbye. My father was very loved. For those of you who have been praying for our family, thank you for upholding our family in prayer. We know many of you have been faithfully praying for Dad for many years, and we have been comforted through each one of those prayers. God has been good to us. Not long after Dad was diagnosed with cancer, his first grandchild was born. Most of you know that my father absolutely adored children, and he was over the moon to be blessed with his own grandchildren. My prayer at the time Reuben was born was that Dad would live long enough to be a part of their growing up, and he was. It was a blessing to see him enjoy every moment he had with his three grandkids. My mother only revealed to me the week that Dad passed that when he first started his treatment, she had asked the Lord, she had prayed, it was her prayer that the Lord would give her 10 more years, and he gave us 11. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. As much as this day is a celebration of my father Harold, it is a testament of the Lord's work in his life. God is the life giver who gives life, and through his provision in the Saviour, he offers life in abundance to all who will turn and call upon his name. All the glory, praise and honour to our good and gracious God who from all things come. During our time of sadness and grief, we have received and have been filled with a peace that only God can give. The blessed assurance that we just sung about, that God can forgive sin. And only through the act of turning from our sin and placing our trust in Jesus can we receive this forgiveness. The Bible says there is no other name given to man by which we can be saved. Jesus is the only one who can give you true peace in times of sorrow and tragedy. His own words in John 14:27 say that peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. My father had no fear in death, because his hope was secure in the promise of God. And his hope has now been transformed into the joy that he has now received from God the gift of everlasting life. And the sting of death, which the Bible talks about, has been removed through the work of Jesus on the cross. I'm so thankful to have had a father who loved me. The love that Dad expressed to his family and friends was the love the Bible talks about, the love of God, a sacrificial love, not self-seeking, but always looking out for the interests of others. Dad wasn't perfect. He was a sinner. And if he were here today, he would preach that. However, it is God's love and sacrifice displayed on that cross that Dad took hold of and clung to his entire life. And it was this love that he would emulate to his family and many people that he came into contact with. It was this love and joy that had an effect on so many people. Dad was a loving father to all three of his sons. My brothers and I are all connected with Dad in different ways. He would make time for each of us and engage with us on our own level. At a very early age, Dad could see that I loved art and craft. Not really being adept at either of those things stopped him from getting down on the floor and sharpening the pencils and spending time with me drawing. He showed me how to draw stick men and tanks and aircraft. His drawings were rudimentary, but as a child, I was fascinated with the worlds he would create for me on paper. That's as far as my art tuition with Dad progressed. However, he never stopped encouraging me in my endeavours to draw and be creative. My dad and I mostly bonded through physical play. For me, special times with Dad were with him regularly spent outside, catching a ball, kicking a ball. He'd set up a target for me to practice my aim. $2 if he hit the pole before me, he'd say. And we'd take turns trying to hit the target. Some of my fondest memories with Dad were playing catch with him in the yard. One evening, in an effort to teach me how to catch a fly ball, Dad gave me a wager, $2 if he catch it. He proceeded to throw the ball as high as he possibly could. The ball landed in my glove. Double or nothing, he said. Before I could actually realise any gain, Dad launched the ball again in the air. $2 became $4, $8, and so on. Every throw seemed to be going higher and higher. Little did I know that this game wouldn't be coming to an end until I was at nothing. Sure enough, when I thought I was about to pocket $512, the ball bounced off my glove and hit the floor. We better go inside. Mum's calling us for tea. Dad would faithfully take me to play baseball every weekend for years on end, and he would cheer me on from the sidelines. Dad didn't have any sense of embarrassment when it came to supporting his family. He could be quite vocal. When I took a catch, I could hear him scream from the sidelines at 100 decibels. "That's my boy," he'd say, causing other parents to jokingly tell him to quieten down. Later in life, I was blessed to be able to play in the same team with Dad in a mixed-age softball league, a time I'll always cherish. Dad was a fairly competitive man. He wouldn't lay down and let you win, especially not his youngest son. Whether it was arm wrestling at the table or a friendly game of squash, Dad would fight for every point until he was red in the face and sweating buckets. This made the victory all the more sweet when I was finally able to beat him in a game of squash. My dad was a bit of a collector of sorts. He'd collect vintage toys, cars, models, lead soldiers, those kinds of things. But not just collectibles. Dad would see the value in everyday items. And we would have a hard time throwing things out, things most people would consider trash, especially if he thought they'd be useful or they could be somehow given a second life. Unfortunately, he passed this trait down to each of his sons to a certain degree. If we're ever driving past a council collection, there remains a strong urge to rifle through someone else's trash. One appointment Dad had for his cancer treatment, the doctor used these extra large plastic syringes. Before the doc could dispose of the waste, Dad asked if he could take it home. "What on earth for?" the doctor said. He explained they'd make good water pistols for his grandchildren. Sympathetic to my dad's request, the doc reached into his drawer and gave him a handful of unopened plastic syringes. And sure enough, the following Christmas, his grandkids were all running around the yard shooting each other with their new water pistols. I wouldn't say that my dad was a hoarder. Mum mostly kept him in check. But it wasn't too long ago that I remember having a conversation with Mum. She was asking us to clean out some of the stuff behind the shed that Dad had accumulated. And then, sure enough, you heard the voice from the other room, "Don't you throw away my good junk." At least he acknowledged it was junk. But it was good junk to Dad. Dad was a very regimented and routine-driven man. Something he didn't pass down to any of his sons. He'd eat the same bowl of Weet-Bix every morning for breakfast. If we were out at his favourite restaurant, he'd never want to try anything new. He'd always order the same thing. If he was taking a flight somewhere, he'd need to be there 2 hours early at the airport. If we ever arrived as a family somewhere early, I'd tell him, "Dad, we're early." And he'd reply, "No, we're not, son. We're on time." One year, Dad flew over to join our family on a camping trip in Sydney, and it was a bit of a washout. It literally rained the entire time we were there. And I remember on the final day, we planned on a slow morning, hitting the road possibly about 9:10 and making way home. That morning, I was woken up to Dad's voice whispering, "Brody, Brody, would you like some breakfast?" I checked my watch. It was 5 a.m. I whispered back to Dad, "No, I'm not hungry." I then peered out the tent zipper, and sure enough, Dad's bed was already deflated and his bags were packed ready to go. Dad was always there to rescue me when I got myself into trouble. There were many times in my younger years when I'd break down on the side of the road, I'd have an accident, and he'd be there for me. Dad was always a phone call away. It was cheaper than paying for roadside insurance, that's for sure. One late evening, I remember returning to my parked car at the station to find it alight. I'd left my lights on. Dad arrived on the scene to help me push start it. It was bucketing down with rain, and there we were in the car park pushing this car around in the pouring rain. What a blessing it was to have a father who loved like he did. He wasn't just a loving father, he was a loving son, brother, uncle, husband, and a granddad. That's granddad with a W, as my children dubbed him. I'd just like to read some short reflections from them. Firstly, from Jonah. "I love Grandad because he made me feel happy and special. Grandad would always spoil me. If I asked for an ice cream, he would always say yes. Once I got 2 ice creams in one day." "I love building things with my granddad, like Lego and wooden models in his shed. Together we built 2 model cars together." And from Reuben, "I love my granddad. He was very special to me. He had lots of nicknames for me, like Mr. Rubes and Granddad's Numbers Man. Granddad used to play lots of fun games with me, like Uno and Marbles, which he called Dugs. He made his own cards for Uno. My favourite was the Draw 40 card. He also taught me how to play solitaire. Granddad always sang funny songs, mostly at the dinner table. And he would always make me laugh. I love my granddad, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again in heaven. My father's concern was for those he loved, friends and family, many here today that may not have that blessed assurance that we sung about. That's what he spent most of his final days praying for and meditating on, was for those that he loved. The invitation to receive God's gift of everlasting life is for each and every person in this room here today. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Your question may be, how can I be saved? Well, Jesus said that he was the only way to God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God, the Father, but through him. Dad asked me to share with you all the way of salvation today. It comes from Acts 16:31. It's a very simple, short verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's that simple. Transfer your trust from yourself to the Saviour and let him reign as Lord of your life, because there is no name given to mankind through who we can be saved. No other name but Jesus. If you've never considered these things before, I would encourage you to read the Word of God for yourself. There are a few Bibles out there in the foyer. If you would like one, please take one home with you today. It's the Gospel of John. And please take a copy. It's from my Father to you. Thanks again for coming today, and God bless.
Deeply regretting going third now. Six years ago, my dad finally became a grandfather to a little girl. He had a granddaughter, my daughter Nico. I've not read this one without breaking down, so let's see how we go. Nico said, "Granddad had a lot of energy to play with kids. He plays with me when I ask him to and when I don't ask him to. He's good at characters and voices and remembering all the names of my stuffed animals. I have a lot of stuffed animals. When I ask him for a Malteser, he gives me a Malteser. He is also a big teaser. He jiggles us around and goes, ho, ho, ho. And he also gives me minimums in my ear, which tickles my brain. He chases us and cuddles us, even though I know he's old and sore. I miss him a lot already and forever." I initially didn't want to tell too many of my own anecdotes, because those are mine and Dad's stories, and because I'm sure most of you have your own. And I feel pretty confident in saying that, because Dad wasn't a man to keep other people at arm's reach. He would step out and relate to people at all ages and walks of life. I remember being an internally focused teen, walking in town with him and coming up to a pedestrian crossing, and he turns to a guy that he could sense might like to talk and offering him a "as a gown bloke," as though you're going to have a big discussion with somebody waiting to cross the road. But this kind of behaviour was routine. Dad expanded his world by engaging with everybody that entered into it. Going through the images for the slideshow today, occasionally we'd find a photo of Dad with a child we didn't know. And with most people that would be somewhat surprising, but with Dad, gravitated towards any and all children. I'm glad we were able to eventually give him some grandchildren, but he was an honorary grandfather and uncle to so many. He would stubbornly find out what made each child tick to ingratiate himself with them, whether through physical play, enthusiasm for their interests, or simply bribery in the form of sweets. He would make himself a trusted friend, and in turn, he got a lot of joy from their stories and interactions. The last time we visited was only a few months ago. With well-advanced cancer and considerable pain, I found him crawling around underneath chairs on the back lawn that had been draped with a blanket for a makeshift cubby house. He was having an impromptu tea party with Nico. This is the kind of play where a child endlessly bosses you around. To be honest, I find it exhausting with no particular physical ailments. His energy and enthusiasm for children were boundless. Dad figured out what he liked and stuck to it, like Kit Kats and our mum. Obviously, he loved Kit Mum more than Kit Kats, and she'll probably hate me for saying that I'm in awe of the care that she's given him, not just through these past extremely tough years, but his whole life. Okay, back to the important Kit Kat story. At some point in my youth, I noticed that Toblerone was marketed as the chocolate to buy if you wanted to spoil Dad. It was Swiss. We bought him one for Father's Day or birthday or Christmas, I can't actually recall, but the reaction was exactly what you'd want as a gift giver. Ho-ho, look at this, how lucky am I? Well, based on that, we bought him a Toblerone for Father's Day, birthday and Christmas for the next 35 years or so. And one day we were talking in a group about everybody's favourite treat. No need to check with Dad, he loves Toblerone, don't you, Dad? Went the fateful question. Short pause, which was strange. I wouldn't say it was my favourite, came the response. Everybody spun around, what? What's better than Toblerone? Cadbury Dairy Milk, anything Cadbury really. But the best has probably got to be Kit Kat. So at that moment, we found out we'd been buying him his 45th favourite chocolate for his whole life. And I'd never seen him eat a Kit Kat before that day. Probably because he had mountains of Toblerone to get through. But don't worry, we kept him pretty flush with Kit Kats after this. And when I went to Japan, I discovered all the special flavours they have there for various regions and events. He didn't like any of them better than plain milk chocolate. Contented is a key adjective I think of when I think of Dad. I'm happy with that, is a phrase that Dad used readily and frequently. He'd use it when a decision was made without him and he didn't have to trouble himself with the details, as well as when he'd completed a task to mediocre ends. A picture hung a bit off centre, a motor we'd gotten running really badly, a sprinkler head sitting a bit too high in the lawn. I'm happy with that. That'll be do, was another phrase employed to similar ends. I learned that having the right tool for the job is highly overrated. You can have a massive shed packed to the gunnels with all manner of tools and you probably don't have exactly the right one anyway. Ultimately, it's all about your willpower. Yes, the socket's a bit big and we'll either get the bolt moving or it'll slip and it'll take a layer of skin off your knuckles. But either way, we're doing it right now. You could put the job off for years, but when you decide to do it, it must be completed immediately with whatever's at hand. I think this highlights the importance of him to giving it your best shot. He never really pressured me into any particular path or pursuit in life, but he always told me how proud he was of any attempts that I'd made. And any success was in the Lord's hands anyway. You've heard of FOMO, the fear of missing out. Well, Dad had JOMO, the joy of missing out. And I've come to realise that he understood that our time is limited, that we are limited. It's a defining factor of what it is to be human. It's the fact that we can't have everything or do everything that makes the things that we do meaningful. Every decision we make is a rejection of countless options, from who to marry to what to choose at the Chinese restaurant with the incredibly long menu. And if Dad was ordering, it was honey chicken, deep fried spring rolls, beef and black bean sauce and special fried rice. He would dutifully look around the group to confirm that that was the right thing, but that was what was being ordered. Dad was always secure in his choices. He would only explore a menu until he found a dish that he somewhat liked. He would order the same again next time. Was there something else on the menu he may have liked more? Possibly. He didn't care. He had decided. I put a lot of my dad's lack of anxiety around decision-making down to one that he made early in life. He chose to follow Christ. The believer can say, come what may, and mean it. Philippians 4:11 says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. But please don't confuse contentedness with being passive and just letting life pass you by. Dad actively pursued many things in his life. In fact, as you've heard before, he was a lifelong collector. I have over my life been introduced to his collections of stamps and gemstones. Nothing precious in any of these collections, just objects that piqued his curiosity. And any visitor to his house could see his collections of model cars. And from there, the collections get a bit fuzzier. The desk drawers full of questionable pens and natty Watsits, and then to the shed, and if you had to categorise by volume, I suppose it would be old drill bits. Blunt, preferably. Despite the propensity for collecting, he never disappeared into his hobbies for hours or days at a time. He spent his time with us. Of other potential time-consuming pursuits, Dad was not really much of a reader. Off the top of my head, I recall him reading a fiction book just one time. On the other hand, I would see him in our front room regularly with his Bible and a concordance, a book of theology, trying to better understand the Word of God. We aren't who we say we are. We are what we can be observed doing. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he made it clear to me where his heart was, where he wanted to be going, and where he is now, home. On the last visit to hospital, the one that he ultimately would not go home from, he had a visit from someone on the pastoral care team. They asked him if he wanted prayer and specifically what for. He had a lot of pains and worries about things that would happen after he was gone, but he replied, I just want to see my family and friends in glory. If you'd like to see him again, it's remarkably easy. Accept Christ as your Saviour. And if you don't know what that means, really there's no more pressing time in your life to explore and start questioning that. Come and speak to me afterwards for starters, or take a Bible that he's offered you. Because in this room right now, because if you are in this room right now, please know that there's nothing more that he wanted than to see you again. And from my mum, no words can express the love and joy we had together. A godly man 10 foot tall in my eyes, he loved and faithfully supported me through better or worse, together with our Saviour who walked us through it all. His greatest earthly joys and blessings were his family, especially his grandchildren, whom he prayed for daily to experience the love and forgiveness of our Lord and Saviour and walk with him in a personal relationship. Now he is experiencing the greatest joy of all, seeing his Saviour face to face. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Gentlemen, we'd all love to give you a big hug and say we're proud of you. Your dad would have been so proud of you. The way you've expressed your stories of him, I think we all got shades of that in our lifetime, bits and pieces along the way. You know, the level of care that your dad had for so much. But you know, you've done a wonderful thing in expressing his story. And we thank you for the openness and honesty and for the insight. It's really, really lovely. We have another hymn now, one of those favourites that Harold wanted. It is well with my soul. Now, apparently, on your booklet, there are four verses, but on the screen, there will be five. So don't lose the last one. And apparently, it goes up a little bit at the end. So let's stand together and sing It Is Well With My Soul. Please grab a seat. Family has prepared a slideshow of memories and times with Harold, so sit back and reflect. Thank you. So many beautiful memories. So many lovely memories. Over the last few months, Joss and I were able to catch up with Harold and Lee a number of times, and I conversed with Harold. I noted that his concerns were always for others, always. He so dearly loved his family. We had some great talks, and one in particular has stayed with me. We were reflecting on the wonderment of leaving this world and entering the heavenly realms. Just a casual chat. We talked about meeting the Lord Jesus face to face. Wow. Since our conversation, I've been thinking about that. Scripture, as always, expresses such things best when it records that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Harold is present with the Lord. Dear Harold has now resolved that question. Faith has given way to sight. We, on the other hand, can reflect on that future meeting. Because there will be a day for us. In the book of Romans, there's a wonderful chapter, I think it's chapter 12, talking to Christians on being a living sacrifice. And there are some sub-themes to that. There's serving God, living sacrificially, and using our God-given gifts. In that chapter, there are a whole list of virtues, dispositions, and attitudes that mark the Christian life. I abbreviated them. If I've corrupted it, please forgive me. I'm not trying to be a heretic. I've abbreviated the list. And in no particular order, here are the qualities. Upright and principled. Kind and merciful. Peace-loving. Honest and humble, empathetic, forgiving, hospitable, tenacious, prayerful, industrious, gracious, fair and impartial, honourable, cheerful, straightforward, hardworking, encouraging, and godly. Sounds like my friend Harold. Throughout his life, Harold has been investing in eternity. The Apostle Paul emphasized the following principle to Timothy in one of his letters. He said this: physical training is of some value. I think it's interesting talking to a young guy. Yeah, it's okay, Timothy. Yeah, physical value is okay. But godliness has value for all things. All. Underline capital letters. For all things. Yeah, finance, romance, education, you name it. For all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. It's a bit to get your head around, isn't it? But we miss and will miss Harold and his family deeply. But we will see Harold again. And that's an awesome thought. I'm going to ask our brother and elder of this church, Mr. Richard Tan, if he'll come forward and conclude our time in prayer. Thank you very much, Richard.
Just before we pray, just share just a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And this is because God does take our life or death. God doesn't take our life or death lightly. You know, we matter to him greatly. Humans are the creation of his, are the crown of his creation. More valuable than the greatest treasure. You know, God fashioned us from the dust, but he made us in his own image. We bear his likeness. We are precious to our God in life and in death. But there's something more I'd like to share with you this morning. Our God values us so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior by paying the price for our sins on the cross. Regardless of who we are, where we live, what we have, or what we have done, he offers us the free gift of forgiveness and life everlasting through faith in Christ. Harold believed that. He claimed that promise for his own years ago. Through all the ups and downs of life, through all the struggles and battles of the last few years, he continued to cling to the hope that he mattered to God. In ways that Harold only fully understands now, his life and death was precious in the sight of the Lord, and so is yours. And we read another verse from John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Harold is now in a better place because he is with Jesus now. The death of a loved one is a hard thing for everyone, for anyone. We mourn because we love and we care. That is as it should be. Caring like that is a part of the way God has made us. But this day, on this occasion, on the death of this saint, may our tears be tinted with a shimmer of hope. In God's sight, surely in Harold's sight, And maybe in the far corner of our sight, where we can just barely see it, stands this bold assurance. Precious is the death of his saints. Shall we pray? Almighty God, you are our refuge and strength in our times of trouble. Our Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for the life of Harold Jordan. We thank you for all the people that he has touched and the memories that he has left. I pray for Leah, for Rick, Glenn, Brody and their families, and Mrs. Pat Jordan at this time, asking for your favor and blessings to be poured out upon them. When sorrow washes over us, share with us the gift of memories. When emptiness fills our souls, flood us with friends and families, that will remind us of your love and presence. May your comforting spirit surround them daily with your love and peace. Lift them up with your strong arms and reassure them of your promise of grace, mercy, and eternal life. Give them hope for tomorrow and the days to come. As for all who have gathered this day, I ask that your word would touch each one and that no heart will be made harder, just more pliable to be reshaped by you. Thank you for the grace you shared with us through the life of Harold Jordan and the grace that indwells within us through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. And now, Father, we ask that you comfort the many family members and friends that have gathered here and help us always to remember the frailty of life. For it is in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Friends, just a couple of things. I think on the desk outside, there's these little tickets that you can put your name on, just so that Lee and the family know who's come, and just so they can, you know, just reflect on that as they go forward. But if you could fill those out, that would be really, really terrific. And right now, we're going to have a time of refreshment where we can get together, we can converse and share more stories and share more of the life that we've enjoyed with Harold. But can we just give thanks for that refreshment before we go further? Father, we want to thank you for this time that we could just share in this time of sorrow. Lord, now for this opportunity to be together, we ask that you'll bless our conversation, you'll bless our time together, and that you'll particularly be with Lee and the family, that you'll strengthen them and give them the courage and the peace that they need at this time. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone.